everyone. This is Jessica.
And this is Claire.
And this, it'll only hurt a little.
So today, we are talking to one of our great friends, Paige. And we're so excited for you guys to hear her story. Before we start talking to her, I kind of wanted to give you a little brief synopsis of what Paige has, because for us at least, it was something we heard about but didn't really know a ton about. So Paige has Chiari malformation type 1. This is a condition in which your brain tissue extends into your spinal canal. It occurs when part of your skull is abnormally small or misshapen, pressing on your brain and forcing it downwards.
Sorry, I had to crack my neck. Hopefully you didn't hear that.
1 in 1,000 people are diagnosed with Chiari malformation. And today Paige is going to tell us all about her diagnosis story, her surgery, and everything that comes along with being diagnosed with Chiari malformation.
All right, we're so excited to have Paige in the recording studio today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Welcome, Paige. Okay, so we gave you a quick intro, but we kind of wanted to hear first about your diagnosis. Mm-hmm. We know that your dad was diagnosed first, so can you tell that story?
Yeah, so basically what happened was I was sitting with my family at our dinner table, and my uncle was visiting for the weekend with his kids, and they had gone to sleep already, and so we were all, like, playing a card game and just laughing, and my uncle was telling my dad this joke from Superstore, and it was a ridiculous joke, but
is it funny?
It's funny, but it's like kind of gross.
Oh, okay. gross is fine.
It's like, okay. So it's basically like they were talking, like, in Superstore, they were talking about, like, I guess somebody asked, so it's like normal to pee in the shower, right? And then
I definitely pee in the shower.
I've done it before too.
My son would be like, that's so gross.
No, like it was like, we were all like, okay, yeah, we've done that. But then they were like, and then I guess one of the guys from Superstore goes, yeah, and like poop in the shower too. And
everybody was like,
what? He was like, yeah, and you just like push it down the drain with your
waffle stomping.
It was so gross. But we were all laughing so hard, and my dad was laughing so hard that like he literally wasn't breathing, and so he kind of like, it sounded like he was trying to get out like words, but mm-hmm. he couldn't say the full sentence. And we were like, are you okay? And then he just kind of, like, leaned over to one side and just, like, kind of started twitching. It looked like he almost had a seizure or something. It was crazy. And, like, I was freaking out. My grandma was freaking out. And my grandma was like, call 911. So I started calling 911. And then he, like, woke up out of it. And he was like, oh, I'm fine. And I was like, what?
The joke was just that good.
Like, I mean, yeah. I was like, no, you're not. And I was like, I'm calling the ambulance. He was like, no, that's going to be so expensive. I was like, okay, then get in my car. Like,
we're going to the hospital.
And he was like, I don't want to go. And I was like, no, we're going.
You didn't see what we just saw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I had to force him to get in the car. Like, my uncle thought he had a stroke. So he did like a stroke test on him and was like, raise your arms above your head, like say a full sentence, whatever. And so we went to the hospital. We were there all night long. And then they were like, we didn't find anything like relevant other than in your CT we saw that you had like a Chiari malformation. And I was there when he got, like, when they told him that, and we were both like, what is that? Mm-hmm, and right. So they were like, basically when you were developing in the womb, like your skull stopped developing and your brain kept developing, and so like it just creates all this pressure in your brain, and you have tonsils in your brain that just kind of get elongated from the pressure. Like, your brain, yeah, like basically your brain adjusts to the pressure and like elongates itself.
Wow.
And so, but that can cause like a spinal fluid blockage. And so after, you know, like a few months and going back and forth between UCSF and trying to go to Stanford, but then the insurance wasn't, you know, like a whole crazy
insanity.
Yeah, like it was insane. And then we finally talked to a neurologist, and they told him that he had a syrinx, which is basically like a backup of fluid in your spinal canal, like where your spinal fluid flows.
So was that dry docking his brain in any way?
It was just, it kind of blocks you from functioning like normally, I guess. Like it keeps you from like sleeping normally. It keeps you from like acting normally and just like you're cranky all the time. Like it's just weird, like random symptoms that like could literally be anything. It's like the accumulation of all of that. And so they like when you have the Chiari surgery, sometimes it's elective because you don't always show a bunch of symptoms. And like he was 44 when we found that out. And so they were like, okay, if you have like a spinal fluid blockage, then you'll have to have the surgery. And then he ended up having it. So then he had the surgery.
Yeah.
And he had his surgery September of 2019. So it's, and he's doing perfectly fine now. And it's like awesome and everything. And so
did it change his personality or ability, or at least, you know, his sleep and his attitude? Did he feel any different, or did you notice anything?
I think so. Like growing up, my dad was he's the best dad in like the whole wide world.
Yeah.
Like he was always super cranky, just like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't.
That's literally me.
Yeah.
Claire like looks over at me.
Like,
that's you.
I'm like,
I know a cranky mom.
Yeah. And he used to work like really late, like weird hours all the time. So he just like never got sleep. And so I've noticed that he's like a lot less cranky. Like he's still himself, just a lot less cranky.
Okay.
So, which is
good.
Yeah. Which is nice. But like that led me to finding out that I had it because
it's genetic.
Yeah. So my sister like pointed out the fact that she was like, well, we need to know if we have this too, mm-hmm. you know? And so he has two younger brothers, and then me and my sister got tested, and you just have an MRI, and I was the lucky one that got it, so
okay.
Lucky.
Not your sister and not his brothers.
Nobody else.
Wow.
Nobody else, just me, so okay. Yeah. Lucky.
And so how did that feel?
Honestly, I fell apart. Like,
I
remember like getting the call from the doctor and her telling me like, yeah, like you have it. Like,
were you alone?
No.
When you got the call?
I mean,
like that's something that would be more appropriate
in office.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
a big,
that,
with
I mean,
somebody with you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, luckily I wasn't alone. I was with my ex-boyfriend at the time and like, he was there for me and it was really sweet, but I just kind of like fell apart. And they were like, yeah, so you have it. So, like, we're going to schedule you, like, a doctor's appointment and talk about it. We'll get you set up with UCSF and everything. And that was, like, June. It was the June before my dad had his surgery. So, yeah. It
2019.
Yeah. That was, oh, my God. Everybody says that 2020 was, like, the worst year of their lives. For me, it was 2019.
Yeah.
I was like, heck no.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Having that diagnosis is scary.
Yeah. It was intense.
After finding that diagnosis, did you realize that you had some symptoms that you had never correlated with?
Yes. Because, like, if you look up Chiari symptoms, it's literally, like anything. Like, neck pain, like, muscle twitches, like, random pains in your body that, like, you're like, oh, okay, it's just, like, a little thing. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
it's nothing. Getting random headaches, getting dizzy, getting nauseous, being tired at weird points in the day. And so, looking back, like, I've always had just really terrible neck pain, and I always thought it was because of the way I was sleeping, but it wasn't. It was because I had a Chiari malformation. And, like, I guess the important part about that, too, is, like, a normal Chiari malformation that's, like, okay to go without a surgery is they measure it by millimeters. And so if you're like 5 millimeters or below, then like you normally don't have to have the surgery. My dad's was 16 millimeters and mine was 14.
Oh, wow.
So they were pretty significant. So like the symptoms, I haven't like fully felt the relief of all the symptoms yet, just because like I'm still healing from my surgery.
Inflammation.
Yeah.
That.
Exactly.
Surgery. How long
yeah.
has it been since your surgery?
I want to say like 6 or 7 weeks. It was
okay.
January 29th. So it's been a little while, but, I've noticed that, like, the big thing too, is that like when you're a kid and you have it, you're just like really clumsy And so when I was a kid, I used to just, like, be standing there, and then all of a sudden I'd be, like, on the ground. Like,
really?
And, yeah, and everybody just thought it was funny. Like, yeah. Everybody was like, oh, you're just clumsy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's you must be growing fast.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. No, that's what everybody told me, because, like, my dad is only, like, 5'10", my mom's, like, 5'3", my sister's 5'2.5", and I'm 5'8". Like, just super tall. Yeah. So everybody's like, oh, you're just growing. Like, yeah, like, you're fine.
Getting used to your body still.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Everybody's like, oh, that's just Paige. She's just dripping over her own feet. And I'm like,
you're
yeah.
like, it's not funny.
Yeah.
Like, it's a funny, cute thing that she does.
Yeah, I know. But what's funny, what's, like, actually funny, though, is the first time that I stood up with the physical therapist while I was in the hospital, he told me to put, like, one foot in front of the other, and it was, like, the most balanced that I had ever felt. Ever. And it was right after surgery. Yeah. And I was just standing there. And I was like, I have never been able to do this in my entire life. It was the weirdest feeling. Yeah. It was
so
crazy. Yeah.
So after you were diagnosed, mm-hmm. was it right away that they decided surgery was the best option for you? And is there
any other options besides surgery for somebody with Chiari malformation?
So I'm not entirely sure if there's another option than surgery, just because, I'm not a doctor, but I'm not sure that there's any other way to, like, relieve that intracranial pressure.
Right.
Without, because, like, the surgery is, you remove a piece of skull.
Yeah.
So that your brain has room to breathe. So I'm not, I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I didn't find any others online, but
yeah.
Maybe they suggested something.
No, I mean, nobody said anything to me other than, like, we're going to have to, the hard part was is that I had to get MRIs in town, and then when I got transferred up to UCSF, they were like, oh, these are terrible MRIs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Experience
yeah.
time
yeah.
and time again.
Yeah, so.
Our physician doesn't even like us to get our blood drawn here.
Yeah.
Yeah. He will always be like, if you can come to
Cisco, please do, because.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never
for what they want.
No, it's terrible. And, like, they were like, yeah, you have to get one up here. And they were like, yeah, so we'll do an MRI up here. And then once you have your MRI up here, like, we'll be able to tell you if you have it or not. So, like, I had to have MRIs just to get them to transfer me to UCSF.
Mm-hmm.
But then once I talked to my surgeon, she was like, yeah, you have to have it. And I was like, okay, why? And she, because, like, basically, it was an elective surgery up until that point of,
mm-hmm.
like,
knowing how many millimeters.
Yeah, exactly. And
that seems ridiculous.
Yeah. It was insane. And also, what's crazy is that the MRIs that I got in town, they were all showing that I had an 8 millimeter descent when I actually had a 14 millimeter.
Which is significantly smaller.
It's a double.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
almost double. And so they were like, yeah, and it was, like, blocking my spinal fluid flow, and I didn't have that syrinx yet, but over time, I could have developed one, and it
mm-hmm.
could have, like, caused more issues or, you know,
right.
anything else, which I'm surprised I didn't have any other issues, because, like, if you're injured in any way, like, to your head when you have a Chiari malformation, like, it just puts you at more risk
mm-hmm.
to, like, I don't know, have more serious brain injury. And, like, I broke my nose when I was in high school, and it was, like, a head-on, like, I was a cheerleader, and I was catching a girl, and she came down, like, on my head.
Yeah, which would obviously whip your neck back.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was surprised that, like, because I think they did a CT of my head then, and I'm surprised they didn't say anything then. So it...
Yeah, nobody had seen it.
Yeah.
It's almost... It's just one of those things where... You know, you have to have
the right doctor.
Yeah, a specialist eye to look
yeah.
at that and say, okay, this is what we're looking for and looking at, and this
yeah.
does not look right.
Yeah.
So you just wonder how many people are actually getting CT scans
yeah.
and MRIs, and they're saying it's half of the significance that it actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And what's crazy, too, is that, like, in town, unless you were talking to, like, a doctor that was from the UCSF base here, like, nobody knew what you were talking about. They're like, Chiari, like, they don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
And so, like, once we actually talked to a doctor at UCSF, like, the surgeon, like, they have, like, a clinic for Chiari
specifically.
Patients.
Specifically.
Yeah. Like, it's, and I'm like, oh my God, like, this
yeah.
is a lot more prevalent than, like,
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Finally,
yeah.
other people that know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah.
And, no,
I mean,
experience.
I'm not a doctor, but I had heard of it before. So.
I hadn't. Okay, so what was it like preparing for that surgery and knowing that that
that's what's going to happen. That's your only option.
Yeah. Honestly, another freak out. It took, right. A lot of just accepting the fact that, like, that is what is going to happen, you know?
Yeah, and it's,
like,
scary.
It was super scary, especially going into it. Like, because I found out that I was going to have my surgery, actually not until last October.
Okay, so why almost a year and a half after diagnosis?
So what happened was I had an MRI with, like, for my head, and there's, like, very specific parts, I guess, that, like, UCSF MRIs, like, do. It's, like, head, and then you do your cerebral spine.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went up there, they basically told me, yes, you have Chiari malformation. And I was like, okay, do I need to have surgery? And they were like, okay, we have to do one more MRI. And so I initially went up there December of 2019 to get, like, the first MRI for them to be like, 100%, you have it. Like, that was, like, a diagnosis from my surgeon, not just from, like, my general doctor. And I had an appointment in March to come back, like, that following March to come back and get my MRI, but that was, like, right as COVID was happening. So my appointment, I remember my appointment was for March 27th of 2020, oh, and I had to call.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, I had to call and cancel my appointment. And then I was waiting because I was like, I don't want to, like, travel with COVID or anything. And then, like, it would, you know, 6 months had passed, and I was like, I mean, we don't know how long this is going to go on.
Yeah,
like,
isn't just a handful of weeks anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
These
are 2 weeks we thought it was going to be.
Exactly. And, you know, little did any of us know that, you know, oh, March 27th, 2020, it was going to be,
yeah. Oh,
almost March 27th, 2021, and we're still here.
Exactly, exactly. And so I finally, like, went back up there, and they told me, and I had to be, the hard part was, when I got the initial diagnosis, I was, like, I was with somebody, and, like, somebody was with me, but when they told me that I had to have the surgery, I had to be in the room by myself because of COVID, and, like,
that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and it's because the rooms are so small in there that my surgeon was, like, like, I can only have one person in there because she takes...
In order to maintain 6 feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, that's fine, but will you, like, hold me and cradle me in your arms?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we hold hands, maybe?
Yeah, like, can you just, like, pet my head and tell me that I'm going to be okay? And, like, I think it was my dad. Yeah, my dad took me up there. So, like, he was there after. But, like, when you get that initial shock, like, it just, in the moment, I was like, oh, like, wait, okay. Cool. And then I remember thinking, like, is this, like, what adulthood feels like? You get, like, really big news like this and you have to handle it on your own.
On your own.
Yeah. Like, it was
a shock to the system.
Yeah. It was super intense. And so I talked to my therapist a lot about it, and I was like, I was like, how do I just, like, become at peace with it? You know? And I think that's a lot of people's struggle, like, either with chronic illness or going into surgery or anything like that. And she was like, honestly, the way you handle it is just, like, letting yourself be scared. Like, it's a natural feeling, mm-hmm. to have, especially going into brain surgery, you know? And she was like, any emotions you're feeling, like, feel them. But, yeah. Like, you just have to trust science, you know, that they know what they're doing and that everything will be okay. And, like, for me, that's not super easy just because of the experiences that I've had in the past where doctors have told me, like, oh, it's not super likely that, like, this is what's going on. But then that's what ended up being the case.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, okay, I guess I just have to, like, give my body over to science and, like, just let them
trust,
you know,
the process.
Just trust the process. But, like, honestly, I feel like the process of going into that was just, like, me freaking out. Like,
yeah.
The whole time. I remember, like, the week of my surgery, like, a couple days before, I went on a walk, like, around my neighborhood, and there's a park, like, right across the street from my mom's house, and I was like, screw the walk, I'm just gonna go sit on the jungle gym, and, like, literally sat on, like, the bouncing bridge and just, like, cried.
Enjoying it, yeah.
Well, I was like, this is fun, I feel like a kid, but then I was like, this is the last time I might ever feel like a kid, because, like, I might die, and so
I remember feeling, you know, nervous for you. I mean, you can feel that when you know someone is going into that.
Yeah,
you can definitely feel all of those worries and fears, mm-hmm. and everything because it's a really intense moment. Mm-hmm. And I just remember talking to Claire and just thinking, this is scary.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it was
really insane. And like I ended up getting admitted to the hospital the night before my surgery, just because the surgery is going to be really early in the morning, and I didn't sleep like at all.
Yeah,
like I was just like,
yeah, how could you,
and people checking and like
exactly
all of it.
like
just the anxiety.
Yeah,
knowing what you're gonna do in the morning.
Yeah, oh my god,
intense.
It was intense. It was very, very intense. And I remember like right before surgery too, like I hadn't, like I get like a really nervous like stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like right before going into surgery, I was like, yeah, I have to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, I was like, sorry, give me one second. Yeah. And they were like knocking on the bathroom door. Like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Just
like,
having an anxiety attack. Don't worry about
me. I was like, I'm just doing deep breaths. Everything is fine. And then they took me back and like, obviously everything went well. So that's good. But going into it was definitely terrifying.
I can relate to the nervous stomach.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the toilet?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hurry.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
It's like this, like,
you get the nervous sweats.
Oh, yeah. Those are the worst, too.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. My hands get, like, all clammy.
Oh, my hands get so sweaty.
You can feel your face getting all red and hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime I'm nervous, my face is, like, as red as a tomato. It's really cute.
You can feel it, too. So it's,
like getting
you can't
hot.
Hide it.
Yeah.
And you know it's there, and it's, like, everything's beet red, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I remember in high school, people, like, pointing out, too, being like, why are you blushing? And I'd be like, I'm not. I have rosacea, and I'm anxious.
Like, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, nervous right now, but that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. So, post-surgery, what was that recovery like for you, and how are you feeling?
Right now, like, I feel okay. Post-surgery was very interesting, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like I had to be in the hospital for, I think it was like 4 or 5 days after my surgery, and I had to be alone for that too. Like I couldn't
nobody
have,
can come.
Yeah, nope. I couldn't have any family. And so while I was in the hospital, I was like pretty okay, I think. It's hard to remember like super clearly because they just had me drugged up all the time.
Right.
But I remember that I had to be like, they kept me at like my bed was totally flat, and I couldn't like lift my head up very far or like even at all. And that was like for the first day. And then the second day they lifted me up a little bit more and like just gradually did that. But honestly, I think like the most memorable part of that whole thing.
Wait, pause.
What?
You know what I just realized?
No, first let's explain. We had to unplug something, and Claire just realized that our mics were not plugged in, so we apologize for the first
half. If it sounded like we were inside of tin can, it was because we were. We are now outside of the tin can, and we have microphones on.
We found our way out.
Because this entire time we were talking into microphones, and they just weren't plugged in, so obviously, that works really super well.
Yeah, brain fog is awesome.
We love that.
You know, sometimes your brain just decides to take a vacation, and mine's in Bora Bora. So, let's continue where we were.
Yeah, back to it.
Back to it, but with better sound quality.
Wow. Okay, so you are super alone. You're recovering in the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I, like, they were, like, bringing me up, like, gradually each day, and it was, like, I don't remember it being that terrible. Like, I think the pain meds were real, real good.
Yeah.
Nice. Like, I wasn't in too much pain, but, like, I had to have an ice pack, like, constantly on the back of my head and, like, sleep on one side or the other, and
you couldn't lay on your back?
No. Well, I mean, I could, but when my dad went through the surgery, he had a way harder time with his recovery. Like, in the hospital, he just was in so much pain. They couldn't get his pain under control. Like, they had to give him, like, a nerve pain medicine from the get-go. Yeah. And, like, I didn't...
Nerve blocking.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I didn't need that at all. And so watching him go through all of that, like...
That's scary.
It was even scarier because I was, like, I've seen what this is going to be. And I was, like, it's just going to hurt. And, like, there's no way to keep that from happening, you know? So I was, like, pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But, like, it was still uncomfortable. I think, like, the worst part about all of it was they had to shave the back of my head. And so, like, from the nape of my neck to,
and your,
like,
hair is long.
My hair is long right now. It's not normally this long. Like, I'm growing it out. Not because of this, just because, like, you know, need to change. I had my hair up in a bun going into surgery. And I thought that they would take the bun out and then shave it and then put my hair in a ponytail.
They didn't.
No, they didn't.
They just left the hair.
Yeah, they shaved my head and left all of the hair that was shaved in the bun.
Are you kidding?
No. So when you're taking your bun out, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, no, I remember, like, first of all, I remember thinking that they were only going to shave a strip because the scar is just, like, a line that goes down my neck. And, it's vertical. And so I, like, was feeling it, and it was, like, all the way, like, it was, like, a full undercut, and I was, like, oh,
not
my God.
Not a V.
Yeah, not a V, because that's what they told me that it was going to be, because I asked them before, like, when
I mean, like,
from ear to ear.
Yeah, I would almost think, like, it's like, can I just have this done before I come in? I'll do it for you if you need to, like, use a razor to get, like, a really clean cut, okay,
exactly.
But at least I can have, like, you know, prepare myself.
Yeah. Well, because I asked my surgeon, too. I was like, I'm thinking about, like, chopping my hair so that it, like, you know, it...
Who is the nurse that did that?
It was... Well, no, the surgeon did it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, she... I mean, that's what I'm assuming, because everybody, all the nurses and doctors, like, afterward was like, wow, Dr. Jacques did, like, a really great job shaving. And I was like... Okay.
You're like, really? Because
are you sure?
Yeah. I was like, they're like, yeah, it's a straight line, like, for the most part. Like, it's clean. It's a clean cut. But, like, it's not, because she told me it was going to be a little triangle. And I was like, but that was the weirdest part was, like, it was probably 2 or 3 days after my recovery, maybe 4. And I remember asking my nurse, like, hey, so, like, I want to take the hair out of my bun that doesn't fit on my head anymore, or, like, isn't on my head anymore.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, I don't really know if we can do that, because, like, you're gonna have to, like, lean over. And I was like, no, it'll be fine, let's just do it.
Yeah,
like
can I not sit in a chair and you do it for me?
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, we ended up doing it over the sink, and then I remember thinking, like, my hair is gonna come out, and I have thin hair to begin with. So I remember thinking, like, this hair is going to come out, and I'm going to have no hair left. I'm just going to have, like, 2 strings, like, sitting on my head.
Aww.
So
That's stressful.
Yeah, it was really stressful. But, I mean, at the same time, I'm also, like, a pretty, like, whatever, it'll grow back kind of person.
Exactly.
But it was, like, I was like, that's not cute. That's not fun. It was nice to, like, play with it, though. Like, you know that feeling of, like, just a fresh shave?
Yeah. Yes,
like,
yes.
Like, you know, like, playing with, like, I don't know, guy's hair or something. It's just like a fresh shave. It was like that. And I was like, who needs a boyfriend when you got brain surgery?
Exactly.
So, it was really interesting. And then, I remember thinking, like, oh, this isn't too bad. Like, I'm FaceTiming my family most days and, like, you know, talking to them a lot. And then I remember my mom coming up to get me to, like, help me downstairs and just crying. Like I just saw her and, like, tears just started falling from my eyes. And I was like, I needed my mommy.
Exactly. Yeah. We talk about that so much. Mm-hmm. It is just, you know.
We still, as grown adults, rely on our mom so much when it comes to medical stuff. We'll be like, wait, I have a doctor's appointment. Can you please come with me?
Yeah. 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 No, it was hard. I mean, it definitely, like, I think it made me a lot stronger and, like, a lot more confident in myself, like, as an adult, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, especially as, like, a very young adult, you know, like, I'm 22, but, like, I feel like I'm, like, 12, you know?
Yeah.
And so, it gave me a lot more confidence, but it was definitely, like, very interesting, and then I just slept a lot after that. Like, I went home, and the drive home was kind of hard, and I literally just slept.
Yeah. A lot.
Like,
it's
just a lot.
It's exhausting healing.
Yeah.
And that's a big...
Is.
So, I have a question. When they are removing your skull, do they, like...
That sounds so morbid and intense.
I know.
So I mean, when that's they removed your skull.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Did they put your brain in a tank, or what's the...
I actually carry my brain around with me in my purse.
You never know when you'll need it.
I never know when I'll need it.
Like, plug it in when it's appropriate.
I have to plug it in when I'm driving, but, like, other than that, I normally, like, leave it unplugged.
Rather not think.
So, are they, like, is there, like, a piece you can ask?
I don't know. Okay, I was thinking about that. Like, I almost wanted to say, like, can I have my skull?
Can I make a
necklace? Amazing. You know how they make the teeth necklaces when you get, like, your
adult teeth?
What do you call those? Wisdom teeth taken out?
Oh, yeah.
You could do, like, the same thing, but with your skull.
With my skull. Yeah. I know. I didn't ask. I should have. I thought about that, though, like, the day before the surgery. I was too nervous, though.
Can I get it in a jar?
Like, to ask.
You're like, it's
not even on your mind anymore.
Yeah, I did think about that, though. I was like, oh, it'll be cool. It'll be, like, from Grey's Anatomy with Meredith's, like, glow-in-the-dark kidney that she keeps on her nightstand.
Yes.
I'd be like, I have my skull. Like, you know.
Do you know how big of a piece they removed?
I don't. I looked up, like, I did a lot of research about it beforehand, and, like, from what I found, I thought in my head, your skull is, like, a perfect square in the back, like, in the cartoons, you know?
Yes.
But it's not. It's, like, rounded. So
yeah.
Obviously, I took anatomy in high school. So, what I found was, like, they take a little circle of your skull, but at the very bottom.
Isn't it kind of, like, an upside-down heart, kind of, at the bottom? The way that it, like, kind of... It goes.
It's like curved like that.
Yes.
I would think they didn't take pictures for me.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't. So I wish sad. They did. Honestly, like I have this
record
weird thing.
The whole thing.
I know. I'm like I have this weird thing where I think it's weird that like as humans we can't see inside of our own bodies, and so I almost wanted them to take a video of my brain for me. So
oh, let me. I wonder if you could like Google on YouTube, give it a goog, and see if you can watch.
Sure.
Somebody else to get the surgery because okay, that would
so
be really
maybe.
Interesting.
So first of all, my son he wants to be a physiologist. So he's like, I told him, you know, you need to really think about that because you're gonna have to do a lot of like cadaver stuff. So he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna, you know, test myself. And he is 8, so he's googing.
So he's doing surgeries on himself.
Different types of
He removed his spleen last week.
Oh my god.
he's YouTubing. Different types of procedures to see if he can, like, watch them. But I will say, it is weird because, like, when I had my cesarean with him, I'm, like, laid out on, you're, like, laid out on the table.
Yeah,
and, like,
you're
awake.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. And they, like, tie your arms down, like, you're strapped to, like,
really?
A cross.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I'm, like,
why?
what am I going to do with my arms? Like,
for the
like,
IVs?
Like, try
no,
and,
so
like,
that you won't, like. If anything goes wrong, like if the anesthesia or anything wears off, or like you have like you get an epidural, right? If you have a C-section, like if anything goes wrong, if it wears off, like you try to like flail, like you can't move.
Like you want to crawl out of the room.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Anyway, so like there's a sheet and you can't see anything, and like, my husband is literally like I'm like. He brings in the camera because we did this with our daughter also, and he's got the camera and he's like taking pictures and stuff, and I can hear the surgeon who I like loved the surgeon, and she's like pulling my guts out, right? And like they just like put them on your chest. They like just prop
what?
Them on your chest.
Crazy.
Gross.
And so she's like, this is this and this is that.
Is she like
and
showing
like,
you your organs?
No, but Vincent.
To her husband.
Yeah. And
he's
I'm they're like talking
lesson.
About it.
Oh my
and
God.
The whole everything. And I was just and like laying there on the table. I'm like, I don't want to hear this.
Which Jess is like so like doesn't do needles, can't do blood.
Ugh.
Like
oh my God.
It like gives me like full blood chills just thinking about it. Like it just
But
it is weird to think.
I would definitely, like, I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, maybe when I have a baby, I should have a C-section so they can show me all my organs.
Yeah, that would be
I know.
Right
like,
up
could
your
you
alley.
Put a mirror on the ceiling
yeah, like,
so I can
just don't put the
watch.
Sheet up. Like, just let me just, like, yeah. see it all.
Just prop my head up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could get those glasses so that you can lay in bed
oh,
and watch
angle?
TV. Yeah, with the mirror. Just
like,
lay down and watch
it.
You're all like, oh, and then, oh, okay. And that that goes there. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. They like bring out my baby and I'm like, oh, that's cool. So wait, that's my spleen.
You're like, exactly. Can I touch the kidney?
Can I give it a little poke? Oh. Anyways, but yeah. So like you think about like, wow, someone has seen
your insides.
Yes. Your entire brain.
It's crazy. So weird. Yeah. I mean, I hope they didn't see my entire brain because that wasn't the surgery.
They're like, bottom. Ma'am, your brain is really small.
Yeah, they actually, like, my brain's, like, this big, and they, like, just saw it through the little hole that they made.
Right. Okay, so, Paige also has some severe allergies.
Ooh, yeah, I do.
To, like, everything known to mankind.
Pretty much.
She only eats lettuce.
Yep.
And
she's a rabbit.
Yes. And she...
I'm actually a talking rabbit.
So check out her picture on the Instagram. Yeah. It's very cute.
At Paige Juliana Willis, a.k.a. the rabbit.
Yes. But you also have PCOS.
Yeah.
So knowing that you already have those diagnoses, mm-hmm. did you feel like, as a person with chronic illness already, did finding the diagnosis of
we'll call it the Chuck surgery.
So knowing that you had Chiari malformation, yes. Did you feel like it was any easier, or did you feel like you were able to go through that process and understand things?
Are they related? No, they're not related. Because allergies have to do with your immune system, and then your PCOS is just really your ovaries. It can mm-hmm. affect your thyroid and, like, your hormones and things like that. But mm-hmm. luckily they're not related, you know, because I think when you have an illness that kind of dominoes on itself and then everything else happens, it just kind of makes it harder.
Right.
But honestly, this was probably the first time that I've had to deal with doctors at this capacity that I can remember. When mm-hmm. I was younger, my allergies, like, I barely remember going to the doctor for any of that. Like, I know that I did, and I very vaguely remember, like, doing a lot of the stomach tests, like, you know, getting checked for diabetes, and you have to drink that nasty stuff.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
you're in the hospital. Like, you're at the doctor's office all day long, and they have to, like, test you with a bunch of different things. Like, I vaguely remember that, but my mom had to deal with most of the doctor stuff when it came to my allergies. And then with PCOS, I basically, like, I self-diagnosed that pretty much. And then I went to the doctor, and I was like, I think I have this. And then I told her all my symptoms, and I told her that my mom and my sister have it too. And she was like, oh, yeah, you have it. Like,
yeah.
I could almost guarantee. So they didn't even really do any testing for that.
That's how it was for Jessica's. I was like, I have it. And she explained the symptoms, and they were like, oh, yeah, you have it. Like, yeah. She came with me to the doctor, and they were like, oh yeah,
that's right. When I was sick.
Yeah, and then she asked her mom. And I hadn't yet
seen the right doctor.
She asked her mom, and she was like, wait, so, like, what's your symptoms? And my mom's like, I don't have any symptoms.
Yeah, this was before I got into my neurologist, and I was tagging along.
Just coming with me to my doctor. Yeah,
and I was like, hey, I'm, like, really bendy and flip-floppy.
All these things. And I'm a Gumby. Like, she was like, do this, and she was like, yeah, you have it. Yeah.
Wow.
So, same kind of story. But, yeah, it is interesting that you... do have all of those things, because Chiari malformation is technically a birth defect, right?
Yeah.
So, I know for mine, at least, because they knew in utero that I had hydronephrosis, they told my mom that there was a lot of other anomalies that could come with having a birth defect, and it's really common for people with a birth defect to have other chronic illnesses.
Wow.
So it's totally possible that
everything just kind of like accumulates from there. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like when your body is already
fighting something
or doing some great feat.
Yeah.
Like
your body just has to like work harder, and then
everything else just
it's like I can't deal with this. I'm gonna deal with this.
Yeah. It can't focus on too many things at one time.
Yeah.
And so it totally makes sense that if you have one thing, you might have a bunch of others.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely think that's interesting. Okay, but give us your list.
Shoot.
What is? No one can keep their hands off the mic.
Technically, it's my elbow.
Okay, so like, give us the rundown of the allergies you have, because I think this is super interesting.
Okay, so I am anaphylactic to all nuts and nut products, which I think I may or may not be allergic to almonds anymore. I don't know. I have yet.
Maybe not test it.
Yeah.
Oh. Or, no, or like do and have like someone just, on like, standby.
Just like a tiny nibble.
Honestly, like I got my allergies tested and it showed that I was less allergic to almonds than I was to coconut.
Interesting.
But I've never.
Coconut.
Yeah, coconut. Like it says crazy. That, it says that I'm like very like there's a minuscule allergy to coconut, but I don't like I'm not allergic to almonds, but I've just never eaten an almond.
Yeah.
So like. I don't know, because my doctor's always told me, like, you're allergic to everything.
Nuts. Yeah,
exactly. So, I'm anaphylactic to all nuts, potentially.
maybe sort of.
Maybe sort of. No, I'm anaphylactic to all nuts, and then I'm also allergic to shellfish and cats, and recently, like, in the past couple of years...
Don't eat shellfish or cats.
Yeah, I had to kick my cat addiction a couple years ago. But, yeah, I'm allergic to cats, shellfish, and I just recently discovered that I'm allergic to parsley, which is, like, the weirdest
thing. So niche.
Yeah, it's very, like, but anything having to do with parsley. So, like, I didn't know this, but cardamom is, like a spice that they use in a lot of Indian foods and, like, a lot of English desserts. And I'm allergic to that, too, because it's the same plant, I guess.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that either until I looked it up, and I was like, why is my mouth itching so bad? Okay. And so I, like, there were a couple times that I had, like, I'd eaten something, and it just made my throat itch like crazy, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I thought about it, and everything that I had eaten, the only thing that it had in common was parsley. And so I was like... okay, I just need to not eat parsley.
Yeah.
So weird.
But yeah, it's very, very weird.
I had no idea that those two related.
Yeah, it's like the same plant. Like, I guess cardamom is, like, the seed, and then parsley is the leaf that comes from it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like pickles and cucumbers.
I mean, basically, yeah. Yeah. You can think of it that way. But, okay. Yeah, I'm allergic to a good amount of things.
Yeah.
Luckily, no medications, though.
So. Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah. My sister's allergic to sulfa, which I think is, I don't know why, but I think that's funny.
Yeah, and that's a big one.
Yeah.
Anyways, total side note. Okay, so what would be your advice to somebody that thinks they have Chiari malformation or was recently diagnosed with Chiari malformation or even preparing for that surgery?
That's hard, because I feel like when you're in it, like, you feel... you're not doing it right, you know? I mean, at least me. Like, I can get pretty hard on myself, and so I don't know. Maybe just to really trust your doctors and to, go to a place that, like, specializes in that.
Yeah.
I would want to have brain surgery, like, in San Francisco or LA or, like, a big
anywhere
city.
Anywhere that,
somewhere that really knows.
Yeah, like, where they have, like, UCSF is, like, a school. So if they're teaching other people how to do the surgery, how to do all
they're
of
they're dealing
that.
With, like, all the new everything.
Exactly.
Do your research.
Top of the line.
Yeah, like, find the best place. Like, keep track of... One piece of advice that a nurse gave me that was really helpful was... keep track of all of your symptoms so that you don't feel like you're going crazy. Like, you're like, oh, there's, like, this little thing and this little thing.
This is something that is normal and I've experienced.
Yeah,
and...
exactly. Because you almost get to a point where it's like, oh, what's this? What's that? Like, I don't know if this is, like, normal. I don't know if this is normal. And I think that, like, is really with any chronic illness, you know? Like, if you get, like, a nerve twitch or, like you have stomach pains or you're getting heartburn and like, you know, things that you've never experienced before. If you write all of those down, then I think it kind of like de-escalates it in your head and it kind of
you're
takes
like, okay,
the anxiety.
Last time I had this, I didn't die.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally me every single day. Like some random thing will happen. Like my stomach hurts and I'm like, I have had a stomach ache before. I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
So I think that's like a big piece of advice. And also like I 1000% recommend therapy just in general. But if you're going to have brain surgery, I recommend it even more so.
Yeah. Any like extreme surgery.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I think you need to process with the assistance of a professional, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, you don't want to just stuff those emotions and hide them and forget about it because it's going to mount up and you're going to be in the prep room having a
panic attack.
Yeah. And so it's really good to just sit with those emotions, it sounds like, even just though, like, it's not easy.
It's not. It's like, that's like the biggest thing that I've learned from therapy is just like emotions are meant to be felt. Like if you have them, just feel them. Like, don't run away from them because they'll just get worse, you know?
That definitely resonates with me.
Oh my God. I felt that in my soul.
So deep, so deep.
Okay, so there's this thing that we do at the end of every episode where we ask
fast,
a new friend
fun
facts. So we ask you three fun, fast facts.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, number one, what's your favorite Starbucks drink?
My favorite Starbucks
drink. We know you're a Dutch fan, but...
I am a Dutch fan. I do work at Starbucks, though, which is hard. My favorite Starbucks drink, I think, is probably... it's seasonal, but the toasted white mocha. Very good. Very
not
delicious.
Not the pinkity drinkity.
Honestly, being a Starbucks partner, making the pinkity drinkity,
Not fun.
We
not
do
a good
not
one.
Like it.
Okay.
So sad. Okay. So, what show are you binging right now?
What show am I binging right now?
Okay. Or what did you last binge? Whichever.
Oh, that's so hard. I have to think. last TV show.
You've had so much time to binge lately.
I have. Like, I've honestly been watching so many things. Last TV show that I binged. Honestly, I can't remember. But what I am watching right now, it's not a TV show, but I'm watching any movie that has Timothy Chalamet in it.
Okay.
Like, literally anything.
Yeah.
Like,
that is my,
like, Call Me By Your Name, Lady Bird.
14-year-old, crush.
All-time crush.
And I'm like, yeah, I can relate.
Honestly,
handsome. I'm sad I'm so old.
Honestly, I wish that's why I was watching it. I'm like, because I, like, it's not as intellectual, but, like, I'm a theater major, and I act, and so, like, I'm like, wow, he's such a great actor, and I'm, like, watching it, like, taking notes, and, like, what is he doing here? Like, what is he doing there? Like, I wish I could just sit back and be like, oh my God, he's so cute.
Okay, but follow-up question to that, because I follow you on Twitter.
Yes.
How many times in the last month have you watched Call Me By Your Name?
Oh, my God.
Because I know it's an unhealthy amount.
It's a super unhealthy amount, I swear to God. That I've probably seen it, like, I want to say, like, 10 times.
Like just this month.
Just like I think it's been like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
Like no joke. Like I saw it.
There was one day where you watched it like 3 times, right?
Yeah. No, I'm not, like
I have movies I could do that.
Yeah. Pride and Prejudice, I've done that like multiple times. But I've never watched a movie consecutively as many times as I've watched Call Me By Your Name. I've seriously watched it. Like it's like I've watched it all. I've watched all the interviews. I'm obsessed with that movie. And honestly, like, rip to Armie Hammer, because it seems like that's not going well for me.
I wasn't going to say anything,
I do not support anything. Mm-mm. This podcast has nothing to do with Armie Hammer.
Podcast is not sponsored by Armie
not
Hammer.
Not sponsored by Armie Hammer.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Okay, so last fast fun fact.
Sure.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Oh my God, this is really funny because I'm super obsessed with, like, the whole Marvel universe. I think, like, I can't say invisibility or, like, whatever. I feel like I would be the Scarlet Witch from WandaVision. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard that it's so good.
That's the TV show that I just finished binging. That's the answer to that question.
Okay.
There we go. It took me a second, but... Yeah, I would be the Scarlet Witch.
And what is that superpower?
It's basically, like, here I go.
Just a brief
it's like magic.
Can she,
like
fly?
We have all day.
She can fly, she can, like, control people's minds, she can, like...
So, essentially, you're basically saying you would have every superpower.
I would have one superpower. She doesn't have super speed. So, basically, I would be her.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was so great having you on the podcast. Before we go, I'm going to give you a second to shout out anything you want to shout out. Give them your Instagram handle. If you're working on anything right now, we want to hear all about it.
What did you say? TikTok?
Yeah, whatever TikTok, you have. Anything. TikTok, Twitter, whatever you want them to be able to find you on.
Okay. My TikTok, I think, is just PageWillis_. My Instagram is PageJulianaWillis_, I think. I do have a single out on Spotify. It's called Does She Know Me? Super great. Really
it's
amazing.
So good, guys. Yeah, Go listen.
The producer on that song, like, did a fantastic job. So shout out Bailey. And, I don't know if any of the schools that I applied to are listening to this, but, like, UCLA, if you could accept me. But, yeah.
Amazing. We'll tag you.
Yeah. Tag, like, UCLA a million times.
UCLA,
yeah.
UCLA, you know what to do next.
Yeah.
Yes. Amazing. It was so fun talking to you
today. Yes. We're so glad you're doing well and your recovery and everything's going really
good
for you.
Yes, and everything's tagged down in the show notes, so if you want to check out Paige's EP, please do. Is that what it's called?
Well, it's not. It's just a single now.
Okay. Yeah. Check out her single on.
Now I have to put out an EP.
Yes. Please go check it out. Yeah. It is so good. And then her Instagram is down in the bio along with everywhere else you can find us. And we'll see you next week. Yes. And stay alive.
Bye. Bye.